All right, we are in week number two of a series that we are calling Uphill Habits. Come on, it's a new year. We're in a new location. I think it's a good time to learn some new habits that are going to take us to some new levels in our walk with Christ in 2019. How many want to go to new levels with God in 2019? We're putting some habits in place to get us there. Before we go into week two of that series, I want to let you know, here at Church of Motion, we are big on small groups. We call those motion groups. In fact, the original model of the church from the beginning in Acts is they met in the temple, kind of like what we do here in the larger group setting on a Sunday, and then it says they met from house to house. They had small group meetings throughout the week, and so we love to follow that model. In fact, we believe real life change happens in the context of relationships, and we need meaningful relationships, life-giving relationships in our life, but how many know sometimes those relationships are hard to find? Would you agree? And that's where our motion group leaders come in. You provide a place where people can experience this life change, where they can literally do life together. And so we've got group leaders training happening after second service today, and then again next week. And so I want to encourage you, maybe there's a passion in your life. You've been thinking, man, I'd love to do this book study or Bible study, or I have a hobby or something I love to do. Why not begin to use that to impact other people's life, to provide a place where people can move forward in community? And so we'll train you up and talk to you about how to do that. We'll give you the resources. And so if you're interested in that, you can attend today's training after second service. Next week, you could attend that. They're both the same. You only need to attend one. Or if you've already attended a motion group leaders training, you've led a group in the past, all you need to do is go online and register your group for the spring semester. But so excited for our small group semester to start back up. And then also want to encourage you, you may not know this, we have a team, we call these Comm Unity Nights, that gather together on Friday nights, and we turn this cafeteria and all the other areas into a place of worship, right? And anybody is invited to that. It's open to everybody. That's 6:30 every Friday night. We start the night up with some corporate prayer, and then we have fun. And the reason we don't just call this setup night is because it's more than just setting the place up. It's community. I love when I'm here watching people laugh together, share stories, enjoy each other. And so you always welcome Friday night, 6:30 right here where we transform the place. And I told our team on Friday, in fact, I posted this on Facebook. I said, you know what? You guys are setting up environments where people are going to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit. And God says that he refreshes those that refresh others. And so I believe that. And so you're invited to that. And then you may not know this. After second service on Sundays, guess what? This place has got to turn back into the school. And so we've got a whole team that comes and gathers, and that is open to anybody as well. We start pretty much right after second service. And so if you're like, hey, I think I could help with that, we would love to have as much help with that as we can in this new season of being fully portable. So let me pray, and then we're going to dive into the message. Let's prepare our hearts. Ready? God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that it's alive, that it's active, that it meets every single person exactly where they are this morning. And so, God, we just pray right now. I pray for every person, including myself, that our hearts would be open. Jesus, as you said, it'd be good soil, God, that as the word falls, as the seed falls, God, it would take root and it would produce harvest, God, 10, 20, 100 times, God, past what happens in this place this morning. God, listen to me, more of you as I preach this message today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Well, back in July, Brooke and I went with a couple of our friends that actually still live in Ohio, some longtime friends, been really good friends for years and years. We took a trip together, kid-free, come on somebody, to Costa Rica together, and we were celebrating 11 years of marriage. In fact, we were supposed to go when we were celebrating 10 years of marriage. In fact, us and the couple that's our friends, we got married both in 2007. We ended up honeymooning in the same place, not together, That'd be a little weird. Just saying, you know. They got married a couple months before we did, and they went there, and then we went there. And so our plan was at our 10-year anniversary, we would go back to the same place we honeymooned and kind of celebrate 10 years together. But both of them had just given birth to babies at 10 years, and so that didn't work out. And so we said, we'll go next year, and didn't feel too comfortable with going back to Mexico with some of the stuff going on there. So my buddy planned us a trip and Costa Rica, and so we're going to spend 6 days there. And he said, hey, let's do it like this so we can see the whole country in 6 days. We'll spend a day or two in one place of the country, and then we'll go to another place of the country, and then we'll move to another spot. And so we flew into to Costa Rica, and we spent our first couple days in a place called Jaco, which is like kind of a surf town, kind of famous surf town there, and a lot of locals there. And so that was fun, spending the first 2 days there. And then we were going to drive, and it was about a three-hour drive up the country, more towards the middle, into like the mountainous rainforest area. Like we were the next resort, like volcano. It was right by a volcano. We had the rainforest there. In fact, this resort had hot springs that you could just relax in the rainforest all day. And so I liked the first spot, but I was really excited for some hot springs in Costa Rica. Kid free, come on, somebody. So we're excited, and so we started out the journey, and one thing you need to know is that when we got to Costa Rica and got our rental car, it was a 2008 Toyota Corolla, and so we started our journey and quickly realized right away the majority, about three-fourths of the three-hour drive was up a mountain and down a mountain, and we're still not sure we kind of took the right route, but my buddy saved his GPS on his phone because none of us had internet connection or anything there. So he saved the route. And so we're going up this mountain. And when I say mountain, I mean like a real mountain, like not some hills, not some small mountains. Like we're going up a big mountain. And this mountain does not have paved roads. So it's dirt. It's gravel. And I remember looking at my buddy, we're going, and the scenery is incredible. I mean, we're stopping, taking pictures, view. And I remember looking at my buddy and going, I am very impressed by our 2008 Toyota Corolla. Because, I mean, we were like three-fourths up the mountain. I mean, this thing is making it up. And we went up some steep inclines. And I'm like, man, I might go home and get a Toyota. I mean, come on, if the Toyota or if the Corolla can do this, I can't imagine the 4Runner, you know. And so was impressed. And so we didn't realize this at the time. We got to the last incline that we'd go out. We were like literally at the top of the mountain, had one, and it ended up being the steepest incline. And so we start to go up it, and we're about halfway up. And the Corolla's wheels start just spinning. And so first of all, okay, we're going to get this. And so we went back down. We tried it again. Same thing. Tried it again. Finally, three of us get out of the car. My buddy goes like 50, 100 yards back down the gravel road. And he gets like the running head start and almost gets out. And the wheel starts turning and go back. And he tries it over and over and over. And I remember his wife that was with us. I mean, she starts having a panic attack. I mean, literally, we're in the mountain in Costa Rica. We're going to die out here. I mean, dramatic. I mean, we had no cell phone reception. None of us speak Spanish, right? I mean, we're in Costa Rica. We hadn't seen anybody. We're in the top of a mountain somewhere in Costa Rica, and we can't get up the mountain. And so it ends up that this local that must have lived at the top of the mountain, we'd seen nobody, this kid, he had to be 12, 13 years old, comes flying by us on a dirt bike. I mean, just goes right up the incline and kind of looks and smiles, and we're like, he just left us, you know what I mean? But he must have felt bad because he comes back down, and he doesn't speak any English. We don't speak any Spanish. And so he's trying to communicate to us in Spanish, and we're like, no Espanol, and he's like, no Inglés. And so he ends up drawing with the stick this line of how we're supposed to go up this incline. Like, he starts way out by, like, where all the brush is, then kind of takes the line up and out and around. My buddy tried his path twice, and we ended up getting up the hill. And I'll never forget, he was at the hill on his dirt bike, and we went by. He had the proudest smile on his face, you know, but the reason I was reminded of this story is while my friend's wife was freaking out about us dying on a mountain in Costa Rica, I was freaking out for another reason because my buddy had saved a different route. And what was going to have to happen if we couldn't get up the incline is we were going to have to go 2 hours back down the mountain, out to the coast, back up and around, and it said the trip would take another 7 hours. And I started freaking out because we had one night in the resort, on the volcano, in the rainforest, with hot springs. And I said, every minute that we can't get up this incline is cutting into resort time. Because I had visions of what hot springs were going to look like. I had visions of what the waterfall we were going to see right by our resort, this volcano and the monkeys and the rain. And I had all these visions, right? I had these dreams and these visions. Our problem was we had a 2008 Corolla trying to get up a mountain. And I say that because life is like that sometimes, isn't it? Come on, y'all have visions, you have dreams, especially starting a new year. We've got these uphill hopes and dreams. The problem is oftentimes we have nothing in our life that's actually going to get us there. Are y'all following me? In fact, the theme statement for this series, if you were here last week, you heard it last week, is this: most people have uphill hopes but have downhill habits. Come on, is that not true? Many of us in life, we've got dreams, we've got visions, we've got hopes, but how many know hopes and visions, they'll only take you so far if you don't have some strategy in place to get you there. If you don't have some uphill habits to go along with your uphill hopes to move you forward into everything God has for your life. In fact, said this last week as well, I'd encourage you to write it in your notes. We form habits, and then our habits form us. Would you agree? We form habits, so even as kids, we develop habits and some nasty, funny, gross, many of those we mature out of as we grow older, but one thing we never stop in life is forming and developing habits. And so we form these habits, so here's what you need to know: these habits you form end up forming you and your life, which is why it's so important that we start 2019 developing some life-giving habits. We're calling these uphill habits, some uphill habits to take us to the uphill hopes and dreams that God has for our life. In fact, I said this last week, and if you were here, don't cheat. You already know the answer. Don't scream it out. Some people were not here last week. But let me say this, and then I'll fill in the blank. This could be your best year yet if. And I just wonder how you'd fill in the blank. Some people here may say, if I could get healthy, or if my marriage would get back together or become stronger, my kids would behave this year. Can I get an amen from a parent? Right? Maybe if I could get out of debt, if I'd hit the $2 billion lottery. Remember me if you do. Remember this message right now where I prophesied that over, over your life. For some would say, if my dreams and hopes come true, if nothing bad happens, if it's just a good, this could be my best year yet if, write this down, this could be your best year yet if it's your best year, come on, say it together, spiritually. If you want 2019 to be your best year yet, it's going to happen because you put some habits in place for it to be your best year spiritually. Come on, we're all made in the image of God. We all have that spirit man inside of us that's longing to be reconnected with God and in this vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus Christ and growing and moving forward in the purposes he has for our life on this side of eternity. And so if I'm going to have my best year, it's because I started out the year putting some habits in place. Come on, somebody say uphill habits. Uphill habits in place to move me forward into all God has for my life. In fact, I said last week, what would it look like if 2019 was a year beyond the natural? Well, wouldn't that be an amazing year? Let me say it like this. What would it look like in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships if you had a year beyond the natural? What would it look like in your workplace if you had your best year spiritually? Well, what would it look like in our city, in our community, if together, corporately, as a church, we had a year beyond the natural? We had a year where we put some habits in place where it became our best year spiritually. What could happen, come on somebody, if this was our best year spiritually? And so what we're doing in this series is we're putting some habits in place to make this our best year spiritually, to make this a year where we move beyond the natural. Come on, how many want some uphill habits to go along with your uphill hopes? Anybody? Anybody in here? I just want to see who I'm working with. Anybody want to have a year beyond the natural? The rest of you are fine with the natural. Some want some supernatural. Yeah, how about anybody want to have your best year spiritually, if you were to be honest, well, if that's going to happen, it's not just going to happen because we talk about it, because we say, yeah, baby, I want that. It's going to happen because we've started off the year putting some uphill habits in place. And let me encourage you, you picked a good Sunday to come because I really believe this today's message is probably the most important message within this series. Now, that doesn't mean don't come back the rest of the week. It's like, I heard that, I'm done. No, they're all going to be important. But if you don't begin to understand and apply what we're going to talk about today, everything else isn't going to matter. Are y'all following me? If you don't get this principle, I'm going to give it to you right now. We're going to talk about the principle of first. If you don't begin to not only understand it, but apply it to your life, you'll never have your best year spiritually. You'll never have a year beyond the natural until you begin to understand and apply what we call the principle of first in your life. Let me say it like this. Something or someone will always take first place in your life. You know that, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to learn how to put God first because until we do, nothing else will fall into place. So in fact, let me say it like this. This is in your notes. If God is first, come on, somebody say first. If God is first in your life, everything will come into order. Come on, if God is first, everything else in our life will take its proper place. Everything else will fall into order. Now, I'm not saying you won't have struggles or troubles. Come on. How many know Jesus said we'd have struggles and troubles, right? He warned us. It's not a maybe. You will. But I don't know about you. If I'm going to have troubles and struggles, I at least want to go through those with my life in order and not out of order. Anybody else? Because when he's first and my life is in the proper order, all of a sudden, I walk through the troubles and the struggles differently. I don't walk through them anymore as a victim. I walk through them as a victor in Christ. Come on, we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And we'll never fully grasp that until he takes his proper place in my life. When God is first, everything else will fall into order. I love what Colossians 1, 16 through 17 says. It says, for in him all things, come on, somebody say all things. Not some things, not a few things, not the things that you think. All things were created, so we all got our beginning. Come on, we're talking first. We all got our start in him. Things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things, check this out, have been created, again, got their start, their beginning, through him and for who?
For him.
So created by him, but we were also created for him, listen to verse 17, he is before all things. So he's first. Come on, somebody say first. First, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So check this out real quick. The Bible says that he's before all things. So listen, in your life, every area of your life, when he is before all things, come on, somebody say first. When he is first, check this out, all things hold together. In, I don't know how many years now, 16, 17 years of vocational ministry, I have never heard somebody say, you know what, Pastor, my life is falling apart, and the reason it is because I follow Jesus. In fact, isn't the opposite true? Because, listen, when he's not first, all of a sudden, things aren't in order, they're in disorder. You don't get number one right, how many know everything else is affected? Come on. If God is first in your life, everything else will fall into order. Let me say it like this. The best way that you can start out the year is by putting God first. Before every other goal you have, and y'all got some good goals. I've heard some of them. I've seen them on social media. But if you don't begin by putting God first, guess what? Those goals won't sustain you this year. Those things won't matter. Let me say it like this. I can tell more about you by what you do first before anything else. Well, think about it. Where your time goes, where your energy goes, where your first passions are, where your money goes first. Come on, everybody say first. I'm going to make a statement, and this may sound strong, but it really is out of love, and I mean that. Listen, if God is in your life, but he's not first, he's not in your life. I'm going to say that again. I just made some of y'all mad. If God is in your life, but he's not first, come on, he's not in your life. Here's why. God says, I won't take another place. God can't take another place. God can only be priority. He can only be first in your life. Like if God is on your list, but he's not on the top of your list, he's not on your list. God, the Bible says God is a jealous God. He wants to be number one in your life. And by the way, before you get all mad at God, God never asks you to do anything that he didn't do first. Who did God send for you? Come on, and the Bible says he was the firstborn over all creation. God did not find an under-challenged angel in the back corner of heaven and say, hey, you're not doing anything. Why don't you go die for their sins? No, no, no. God gave his best. God gave his first. He gave himself in the second person and said, hey, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I haven't done. I'm going to give you my first. I'm going to give you my best in Jesus Christ. God always goes first. By the way, this is Christianity, isn't it? Christianity is not showing up and sitting on a lunch table. That's what y'all are sitting on right now. Some of y'all are like, what? Kids Cheeseburger was there on Friday, and now you got the better end of the deal. Let's be honest. I'm going to work these lunch tables into every message. I don't know how. That's my goal for 2019. Right, but that's not Christianity. Christianity is not reading your Bible. Christianity is not attending our Discover events or joining a group. Those are all parts of Christianity. Listen, here is Christianity. Christianity is I am going to rearrange my life to put Jesus where? First. He is first. I'm giving him first place in my life. He gave all himself for me. Now he asks that I would give all myself for him. He died for me on a cross, and he asks that I would die to myself, right, that I can live in him. By the way, we get the better end of the deal. Amen? We're talking about putting him first, the habit of first. But by the way, look at the first four words of the Bible with me. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, say that together.
In the beginning.
Say God.
God.
In the beginning, God. I heard a mentor of mine one time said, if we would just apply in our lives the first four words of the Bible, it would solve so many of our problems.
Wow.
Right? Come on. In the beginning, who? God. The Bible starts out, in the beginning, first, God. The problem with most of us is this verse, in the majority of our culture that we live in, it would say something like this, in the beginning, me. In the beginning, me. What I want, what I think's right, what feels good, what serves me, in the beginning, me. It says, in the beginning, God. In fact, let me say it like this. Our problem oftentimes is we get number one out of order, and when number one out of order, the result or the byproduct of that is disorder. Disorder brings confusion and chaos into your life. Would you agree?
Yes.
Listen to what 1 Corinthians 14:33 says. It says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of what? Of peace. How many want peace in 2019? Yes. Listen to me. Peace is about having your life in the right order. If your life is out of order, meaning you got number one wrong, you'll never experience the peace. Peace comes from having life in the right order, my relationships in the right order. Peace is not based on circumstance or situation. It's based on living a God-first life. If God isn't first, nothing else will come into order, right? And I'm telling you, and some of you can testify to this, anytime you remove God out of first place, the result becomes confusion and chaos. The result becomes disorder in our life, right? In fact, I've said this before. The enemy often attacks our worship, right? Remember, Satan was a worship leader.
Yes.
And he attacks our worship. And Satan is okay with you not worshiping him because what we worship takes first place in our life. So when we worship God, what are we doing? We're saying, God, you're first. You're number one. That's why worship, by the way, is not an appetizer. So you don't skip worship and then, hey, I'm just coming for the word. No, no, no. Well, we're saying, God, you're number one. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to put you in the rightful place because it's so easy for him to get knocked out of number one in our life. And so when we gather together, we're reminded, no, he's the one I'm going to worship. But Satan attacks your worship, and he's okay with you not worshiping him because you're like, I don't worship Satan. That's kind of weird. But he just doesn't want you to worship God because he knows if God can be bumped out of first place, the result is confusion, is chaos, is disorder. Remember, the enemy has a mission in your life, and it's to steal, kill, and destroy. God is a God of order. God is a God of peace. The enemy loves disorder, loves chaos, loves confusion. Are y'all following me? Come on, we're talking about the principle of first, right? And by the way, you don't have to agree with anything I've said, but could you at least agree with this, that our world, let's just put our nation. Would you agree our nation is a nation full of confusion and chaos? Like you could be here and you are as welcome as anybody. You can belong before you believe here, but you could be here and go, man, I don't think about this Jesus stuff. It's got, you know, kind of weird about this stuff. But you could at least agree that we got some jacked up stuff going on in our world. Like, talk about confusion and chaos. People walking into elementary schools, shooting up children, and sometimes they don't even have a reason why they're doing it. Come on, y'all remember the Las Vegas shooter? They say he really had no reason. He just wanted to shoot people. When God is taken out of first place, the result is confusion and chaos. Are y'all following me? Which is why it's so important that we put God in his rightful place as we start 2019, number one. I'm going to try to get the rest of you into this as we go. How about Exodus 21 through 3? Hey, first commandment God gives. He says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Listen to me again. God says, I did it first. I went first. I brought you out. By the way, what does that mean for us? God found you. If you're saved in here, you weren't searched and you didn't find him. No, he found you. He saved you by his grace. He went first and he says, here's what I ask in return, that you shall have no other gods before me. What is he saying? Don't let anybody or anything else take first place in your heart. Here's what I'm asking, that I would be number one in your life. So what if we started 2019? And God, the first and most important thing I'm going to do in my life is I'm going to put you first. In fact, this is in your notes. What if we made this declaration together as a family, as a church, and we said in 2019, I'm going to give God the first of what?
Everything.
Come on, say it together. I'm going to give God the first of? Come on, what would it look like in our lives if we declare, starting out 2019, God, I'm going to give you the first of everything. Come on, it's a declaration we're making. The most important thing you can do, come on, I'm telling you, the most important thing you can do as you start out a new year is put the uphill habit in place called the principle of first. That God, I am going to put you first in every single area within my life. So what does this look like practically? And by the way, if there is any principle that runs from cover to cover in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, you can check it out yourself. It's the principle of first. It's the principle of priority in your life. And so it's the most important principle that we see within Scripture. So here's what I want to do. What does this look like practically in my life? Hopefully some of you are in a place where you go, you know what, I know I need to put God first. I've tried putting other things first, and I see the chaos, the confusion, the disorder. I want my life in order. I want peace in my life. I want a year beyond the natural. I want a year where it's my best year spiritually. Practically, Pastor, what can I do in my life to keep God first? How many like practical messages? Like, I can go and I can apply it right away. I do too, and so this, it's not going to get any more practical than what I want to share with you on how you can put God first in y'all's life. Are you ready? So principle of first. I want to break this down yearly, monthly, weekly, and daily. How do I put God first this year, this month, this week, and every day? How do I put God first? Anybody interested in this? Even if you're not, I got the mic. We're rolling. Here we go. Write this down. I will give God the first of my, say it together, year. I'm going to give God the first of my year. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, we're actually doing it right now. We are in day 8 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Maybe you're here and you're like, I didn't even know about that. It's my first time here. You haven't been doing it. I encourage you, start right now. Don't be like, oh, I'm day 8. I can't start. Start it now. I mean, we're a third of the way in, so you'll only be one third blessed. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. Maybe. Why do we start, and we do this every January, why do we start the year 21 days of prayer and fasting? Because we're going to put God first. We're going to say, God, I'm going to put you first. If you remember last week, and if you weren't here last week, I did a teaching on prayer and fasting and why those habits are so important. Highly encourage you to check that out if you were not here or need a refresher. But the disciples came to Jesus, and they couldn't drive out a demon out of this boy. And Jesus says, here's why. You've got a connection problem. You're not connected enough to me, and you're way too connected to the world. And so Jesus gives us these habits in that passage. He says this only happens through prayer and fasting. Why? Prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the things that we've got too connected to within our world. And so if you're new to fasting, you're like, I don't know anything about that. On our website, churchemotion.com, we've got all kinds of fasts you can do, why we fast. We've got a Bible reading plan throughout the fast. We've got prayer focuses every day of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. But listen, we do this. Why? Because we're starting the year declaring, God, we're going to put you first as we start 2019. That's why we do it every single year. God, we're going to put you where you belong first as we start 2019. Here's another practical way to put God first. How cool would it be to start out the year by discovering your God-given purpose so that you can make an eternal difference in people's lives this year? Does that sound good? We have what we call our Discover events that take you on a four-week journey to discovering your purpose, right? Your God-given purpose so that you can make a difference. Today, during second service, they always happen during second service, you'll get an opportunity to go to step two where you take a spiritual gifts test, a personality test, and we show you how God's wired you for, on purpose to serve a specific purpose in your life. So stick around. That's in second set during second service. If you can't stick around, just check it off on your Connect card and we'll make sure we reach out to you about that. But we're going to give God the first of our year. Come on, somebody say year. Through 21 days of prayer and fasting. Second, write this down. I'm going to give God the first of my month. My month. Come on, somebody say month. And what I want to talk about, what God laid on my heart, is I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about monthly scheduling and budgeting. So if I'm going to give God the first of my month, I'm going to make sure God is first when it comes to the way I schedule and budget each month. Are y'all following me? Let's talk about the less tense one so far. Let's talk out of the two. Let's talk about schedule, right? Giving God the first of my schedule. What does that mean? I'm not going to schedule things in my monthly schedule that move God out, right? So I'm not going to schedule things that all of a sudden I can't come to church anymore because I've filled up that time with something else. I'm not going to schedule things that where I get too busy. And when we say, hey, you need to join a motion group, you say, man, that sounds really good, small group. My schedule's too full. No. I'm not going to schedule things where my schedule fills up so full that I've moved God out of my schedule. Are y'all following me? So God is going to take priority in my schedule. By the way, if you're a follower of Christ and you're married, your marriage comes next. And then your kids. And so if I'm going to put God first, I'm going to keep the biblical order right. When I look at my monthly schedule, come on somebody, God is first and everything else falls into the right order. Are y'all following me? Right? Come on, we're talking about schedule. Too many people get to the end of a month, and we all say this, we've all been there, we go, whoo, that was a chaotic month. Could it be when you look back at your monthly schedule, things were out of order? If it's out of order, your same testimony every month will be, that was a chaotic month. If you like living there, stay there. If you don't, begin putting God first. All right, let's talk about budgeting. Yes, we're going to talk about money. And this is where it's going to get tense, and probably nobody's going to say amen, but I'm going. Come on, Pastor, principal first. Yeah, that's good. Oh, money too? Oh, even in my money? When you look at your monthly budget, hopefully you do a budget, what comes out first? Y'all giving away the answer. Let me preach. Come on. Exactly. Let's pray. Seriously, though, when you look at your budget, you don't need to answer this out loud. What comes out first? Right? Come on. The tithe, what they just said, God put in place the tithe for believers. That is how we put him first when it comes to our area of finances. So when I look at my monthly budget, the very first, come on, somebody say first. We're talking about the principle first. The very first thing that comes out is what? It's the tithe. The tithe means the first 10%, I give it to the church. I give it to God through the local church I call home. So if that's Church Emotion, you call home to Church Emotion. You're not giving to Church Emotion. You're giving to God through Church Emotion. That's how he set it up. If you're here and you got to call another church home, you give it to your church home. The principle of the tithe is how we put God first in the area of budgeting, the area of our resources. But by the way, notice I said first. We're talking about a principle first. So it doesn't come last. It doesn't, hey, God, let me pay everything else and do this and do that. And if I have it, then I'll give it. Or God, I'll give you the leftovers. How many know God does not deserve leftovers? I'm not going to put in what I call tippers in the bucket every Sunday. Hey, I got extra $5 or some change. I'll kind of try. No, God, that's not what you're deserving of. You're deserving of what? First. By the way, that's why it's a step of faith. It would not require faith, and it's faith that honors God if you gave the last instead of the first. And by the way, I don't just preach this. Brooke and I practice this. Brooke and I tithe. We get paid twice a month. Guess where the first 10% goes? I don't pay the house bill first. The house bill cannot bless me. The mortgage company cannot bless you. You know who can? God. First. Brooke, you ain't going to buy shoes. We're not spent on anything else until we give to Church of Motion, because that's our home church, first 10%. Also, I'll be transparent with you, we give offerings as well. Offerings is over and above the tithe. So every season we ask God, God, the 10%'s yours. That is yours. That's how you're going to be first in this area. That puts us under your blessing and covering. Is would you have us give more than 10%? Oftentimes, he'll lay a specific percentage on our heart that we give over and above. That is called an offering. I just want you to know, I'm not up here talking, yeah, y'all should tithe, and then I'm not. Pastors do that from time to time. It's hard to practice what you preach. It's easier to preach than to practice. But we do that. Listen to Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of, come on, say it together, tithing, giving that first 10% to God through the church you call home, check this out, is to teach you always to what? Come on, let's say it. I know it's tense in here. To put God. Oh, yeah, here we go, man. God just wants my money. How ridiculous is that statement? God does not want your money. God does not need you. Like, God is doing just fine whether you tithe or not. Y'all know that? Like, he's not up there going, oh, my God, if Church of Motion, they don't start tithing, when heaven's going to shut down. Like, doing just fine. You know what, God? So if you say that, just stop. Like, if you get any word, just please don't ever let that come in. God just wants my money. No, he wants your heart. And here's what Jesus, in his own words, said. He said, where your treasure is. I'm going to say something really bold, and this is probably going to make somebody mad, but this is what Jesus says in his word. If you are a believer in here and you're not tithing, according to the words of Jesus, he's not number one in your heart. You can send me an email about that later. That's Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and say it together. Is it up there? In the first fruits, oh, it's not underlined. Come on. The first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. If you've been here, we've been talking a lot about new wine, haven't we? Come on, new wine in Scripture doesn't represent like the Merlot and the Chardonnay. Some of y'all are like, woo, yeah, baby, bring that tide. Bring it on. Like, that's progress, growth, right? New opportunities, new territory, new levels, new power, new authority. God says new wine, all of that is a result of God being first in your resources. God wants to bless you. Malachi 3:10 actually says that, before that it says we're robbing God if we don't bring the tithe. I heard a guy say one time, he said, tithing is not giving, tithing is just not robbing God. The first 10% belongs to him. But God doesn't say, let me just take it. He says, it belongs to me, but what it does is it moves you under my covering, my blessing. And guess what? The promise of God is I will open up heaven and pour out a blessing so great you won't be able to take it in. I don't want to have an open heaven over my life, but a closed window because I've refused to put God first. Are y'all feeling me? That's what this is. And so I want to make this very practical. Maybe you're here and you go, man, dude, I knew nothing about the tithe, or I haven't tithe, or I did, or I didn't, or I did at one point, and now I haven't. I've lost, but I want to start. Can I encourage you to make this very practical? Do what we call a 90-day tithe challenge. So for 90 days, you're committed that the first 10% of every increase, somebody say increase, any increase, the first 10% comes to the church you call home, goes to God through the local church you call home. And so you're committed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it out for 90 days. And I want you to see if God fulfills his promise, if he moves. And we are so committed to this. Here's what we promise every time somebody does this. At the end of your 90 days, if you say, gosh, man, I wish I didn't do that. That did not work. I regret making that decision. Anything we have recorded that you gave over those last 90 days from when you started, we will give back, no questions asked. That's how much we believe in this. We've experienced it in our life. We're going to put God first in our scheduling, in our budget. By the way, let me talk 2 Corinthians 9:11, one of the great generosity passages in the Bible. It says this. It says when you give. So 2 Corinthians is about offering. By the way, when you do a budget, I would highly encourage after tithes, the second item is offering. So I'm going to put aside some money where when God lays on my heart to give over and above, so I'm going to give generously to somebody, to something, maybe there's a need we say here, that's called an offering. I've already got something in my budget where I'm free to give. Now, I encourage you, don't just give it. Ask God. God, is this what you had me set aside this to give to? But it says, when you do, when you bring offerings, you'll be enriched. Somebody say enriched. In every way. Why? So that you can always be generous. Come on, that you can always be generous. So I'm going to put God first yearly through prayer and fasting to start the year. I'm going to put God every first in my month through my scheduling, through my budgeting. We got past the 10th section. All right, take a breath. Write this down. I will give God the first of my, say it together, week. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir here on a Sunday morning because you know what you just did by showing up at church today? You tithed your week. You're giving God the first of your week. So let me ask you, what would it look like if you made it a priority to give God the first of your week? In fact, I found this out in my studies. You know the early church moved worship from Saturday to Sunday? You know why? Two reasons. One, the resurrection happened on a Sunday. How many know church should be a celebration? Too many church services look like Jesus is still in the tomb. Seriously, though. It should be a celebration. Come on, the victory has been won. Worship, when we gather together, should probably, if a football game sounds like that, come on, somebody. I'm going to give God the first of my week. And they said the second reason, check this out, is because they didn't want to give God the last part of their week. They wanted to give God the first part. Sunday is the first day in the calendar. I'm going to show up. I'm going to worship. And by the way, here's what we say. Don't make it a priority not only to come to church and consume, but to contribute. We say it like this: would you be willing to serve one and go to one? Serve one service, go to a service. Would you be willing to do that? Or maybe it's serve one, go to one, or go to one, serve one. I encourage you, take a service where you receive. So I'm going to be encouraged by the Word of God. I'm going to worship God. That is my service to kind of consume what God has for me. But I know that's not what church is supposed to be about. So I'm going to take a service where I serve as well. So I'm not coming to just be about me. I'm going to bless others. I'm going to serve on the dream team. I know the response. I hear it all the time. Pastor, I can't be here 3 hours on a Sunday morning. So you can't give God, who gave his life for you, the first 3 hours on a Sunday. Could it be that the order of our life has gotten out of order? Parents, I got kids. Well, I don't want my kids here both services. You know, my kids are really involved in sports, and I love sports, and they'll always be in sports. I have never looked and said, hey, babe, we cannot get in baseball because there is a doubleheader, and I cannot have them there two games. I've never said that. But yet when it comes to God, we do stuff like, oh, I can't have them worshiping two times on a Sunday. You know what I've also never heard? Come on, sports fans, I've never had somebody in ministry say, hey, Pastor, gosh, I cannot go to the Tampa Bay Bucks game today because I would have to drive an hour up there, and then I'm going to have to pregame, you know, a tailgate for 2 hours, and then I'm going to be in a four-hour football game, and then I'm going to have to kind of celebrate if they win for another hour after the game, and then I'm going to have to drive another hour home, and Pastor, I cannot just give that much time to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We do that with God, though, don't we? Could it be that the enemy has done a great job of shifting the order in our life? Come on, I'm trying to help you understand this principle of first in Scripture. I'm going to give God the first of my week, and then lastly, one with this. I'll give God the first of my, come on, say it together, day. Jesus set the model. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You want to know how you tithe your day? I'm going to start off my day with who? With Jesus. I'm going to put him first. By the way, this is the model Jesus used, which I think is a great model for us. But even for me, when I spend my first part of the day with God, you know what it does? It kind of connects me to his frequency to start the day. I stay connected. It's not, God, I'll see you tomorrow morning. No, I'm connected because I've started my day. I don't know about you, but I want to start off the day being connected to my source. Anybody else? Because we're going into a dark world, a chaotic world. I want to start each day in order that in a world full of chaos, I can be at peace. Anybody else? So let me encourage you this. I encourage you to start what we call the 15-minute rule. Give God the first 15 minutes of your day. I'm trying to make this very practical. 5 minutes reading the word, 5 minutes in worship. That's like one worship song. We just sang What a Beautiful Name. Maybe it's like a 5 minute song. You turn that on and you worship, and then 5 minutes in prayer. To say, who can't wake up 15 minutes early and say, God, you deserve the first part of my day. I'm telling you, it's going to change the way you go about the rest of your day. I encouraged our staff. In fact, we didn't encourage. We said, this is what we're going to do. We say 15 minutes for you. We told our staff team this week, God's going to get the first hour of our day from now on every single day. He deserves it. Because what could happen in our church if, as the leadership team, we had our best year spiritually? We had a year beyond the mat natural. And so we're going to do an hour. I'm just encouraging you. Start with 15 minutes. Get up. Begin to put God first. Is this practical? Come on, I'm showing you how to put God first this year. First this month through our budgeting and our scheduling. First each week by making church participating in the family that God's put you in a priority. And each day, God, I'm going to wake up and you're going to get the first part of my day. Would y'all stand to your feet as we get ready to close? Come on, the principle of first, a principle from cover to cover, a principle that if we don't get, we're not going to have our best year spiritually. We're not going to have a year beyond the natural. I'm talking about the principle of first. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads all over the world? I want to do something that sometimes we don't do, but just felt led to do it. All eyes are closed. All heads are bowed. I want to encourage you if today you go, you know what? I've been convicted. God doesn't condemn, that's the devil, but he convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts because he's got more for us. He's got better. He wants to move you forward. If you're here and you go, I've been convicted to put God first, practically. I've been convicted. I'm going to jump in on the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm going to go online and find out. I've been convicted. I'm going to put God first when it comes to my scheduling and my budgeting. I'm going to put God first each week by giving him the first. I'm going to give him, or each week by coming to church, and each day by waking up and putting him the first. If today your declaration is what we said, God, you're going to get the first of everything in 2019, would you just lift your hand up high? I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand. This is our declaration. God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put you first. Come on, we're declaring. I'm going to put you first. He gives us the helper, the Holy Spirit, to do it. You don't have to do it by your own strength or your power. God, I thank you right now for every commitment, every declaration as we start 2019, that we're going to put you in the only place you belong, first. And God, I thank you. Your promise, God, is that when we put you first, the result is peace. The result is blessing. Result is fulfillment, God. And so I speak blessing. I speak joy. God, I speak order. I speak peace over every person making a commitment from this day forward. God, we're going to put you first. And God, we'll miss it from time to time, but thank you that your grace covers our sin. God, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our helper as we make this commitment today. Praise God. And I want to give you an opportunity. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. I want to lead you through a little prayer. Remember, God went first. He gave his son. He gave his first. And we received that payment for our sin on the cross when we confess him as Lord. God, I'm going to give you my life. Maybe for some, you go, this is a time of rededication. He hasn't been my first. I'm going to give him first right now. Would you pray this prayer out loud, church family, on behalf of those that are coming to Christ for the very first time or maybe coming back to him today? Say, Heavenly Father, I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on a cross for all my sin, and he rose from the dead to bring me life. And so I give you my life. You're first in my life. I receive your forgiveness. I make a fresh start. From this day forward, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.